2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married. Should've known we'd never get far.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. All right, let's get to the man himself. You know him, you love him. And by the way, it's all brought to you by Spherion. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online at Spherion.com. Tim Lacombe joins us now. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm good. I want to get your opinion on something musically because I take a little heat for this. Pre-everything I do for you, Bryan Adams was an elite-level rock star. Am I off base on that?
I love Bryan Adams, and you're exactly right. I actually, that song's near and dear to my heart. That happens to be the, you know, the song that my wife and I kind of chose while we were courting. So, that's even cooler, but we went down to Vegas. I saw him a couple of years, just coming out of COVID, and he was phenomenal. He was great, and you're right. He does rock. He really does rock. Can really play guitar.
Because, you know, after Everything I Do For You, which was a great song, and, you know, Robin Hood was a big movie, and then he kind of dialed in the sappy love stuff. But if you look at Reckless, I mean, that's a great album from top to bottom. And I might add, has a couple appearances from Tina Turner on it, which obviously sadly passed away yesterday.
Yeah. It's those songs, that song, particularly the one that kind of pauses and they scream a bunch. That's a good one.
And
Tina.
Yep.
Rocked
yep.
it out. It's Not Love, I think is what it's called. Or
it's only,
about
it's
love.
Only Love.
It's Only Love. It's Not Love with Dokken.
Yeah. Now there's an elite level band right there, Dokken.
Yes,
all right.
By the great Don Dokken.
Yes. All right, we got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Just how much, look, I appreciate it. Look, I'm not one of these people that ignored the Nuggets all year long. We knew they were good. But just the amount of domination that they've shown so far in the playoffs on this NBA Finals run has been nothing short of just impressive. I mean, I knew you I trust your opinion in all things basketball, but have you even been surprised by, not that they're in the NBA Finals, but they've done so in such a dominating fashion?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I made it pretty public in one of the last shows, you know, broadcast of the season and crosstalk after the game. Booner and Locke, to their credit, were like, you know, they were like, Denver's probably going to do this thing in the West. And Jake and I were like, hold on a minute, you know, let's talk about these other teams, because we've seen it all too often where, you know, Denver, like the Jazz, runs out and has the best record in the West. And then everybody gets quote unquote healthy for the playoffs. And you know, and the superstars reign supreme. But what we, I think us are underestimated is how good Jokic is and really how legendary this little run is. It's been phenomenal, man. I love basketball. I've seen a ton of it. And I can't get enough watching this guy. And I know some people say he plods around, he's boring. But to me, if you're a cerebral person, if the game of basketball, you know, as Majerus used to say, nobody appreciates the geometry of the game like he did. If you're one of those people, man, this guy's for you.
I think also too, and frankly, he probably had a case for being Western Conference Finals MVP. Jamal Murray's playing out of his mind too.
Yeah, he really is, and it was so hard when he got injured because Denver played so well in that series against Utah a couple years ago, and unfortunately, the injury happened right on that momentum, and it was just a tough deal. But him coming back and the way those two guys see each other and play together and compete together is really magical. And I think, you know, Jokic has really been able to blossom because he's got his guy back with him, and he's way better with Murray than without him.
How impressed have you been with, especially on the defensive side of the ball, Aaron Gordon, who doesn't get a lot of love, but I think he's been also a key element to all of this?
Yeah, he's just that. I mean, every championship that came, if you think about it, you go through the great ones, and there's always that guy who just does a little extra, you know, that doesn't care what stat he's going to fill. If it's in a positive fashion for his team, he's going to do it. And that's what Gordon's been for them. I mean, he made a huge three the other night in the guts of the game when that thing was, you know, in jeopardy. He made a big three, and so he's done it in every respect, and I think he's a guy that's really bought into what's going on there. You know, I got to give a ton of credit to Coach Malone. It is so hard to coach in this day and age with all the egos and everybody wanting their career to take a certain trajectory. The problem is guys try to dictate that, and, you know, the great ones just work, and it takes care of itself, and I think that's where this team's kind of gotten to. And when you get to that point, you know, and coaches get you there, it's magic, and you just ride that out as long as you can.
The great Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so let's shift to the East, and Boston trying to stay alive. They pick up a big game four victory. Now it's back in Boston. They're 8-point favorites at home. What are your odds on giving this? I mean, what are your thoughts on this team getting this game back to a game six?
You know, I saw a tweet today from the great Mike Smith. He joined us this year. I got to hang out with him most Jazz game nights for a while, and I miss Mike. So if you're out there, Mike, I love you, brother. But I saw a tweet from him today, and I've got the same sense. It's basically, I've got this sense that Boston kind of, I just got a weird feeling they're going to win the series now. And I know that's like a knee-jerk reaction. I know. You were just asking about tonight, but I don't think it's out of the ordinary, man. And I know they got to get tonight, but when you look at it, Boston shot 29% from three, by far the worst they've shot from three in any stretch, you know, all year long. And so it's a little bit of an outlier that they shot so poorly. You know, everybody talks about their lack of effort, but one of the harder things to do is to play your butt off when the ball continually won't go in for you. And I think that they got a little bit dejected, and I think they gave into fatigue a little bit, but they looked so good the other night, and they shot 41% from three, and the ball popped around, and all they've got to do is win two, you know, they've got to win one game at home, and yeah, it all starts tonight, but I do believe that the Celtics, I think it's been proven all year they were the better team, but Miami's just been so hot, but I did see Caleb Martin miss tonight, and he's a big part of why they've been good, you know, those guys off the bench. So it goes back to what Marcus Smart said. You know, if the Heat wanted to get it done, don't let us win one. I think those I've been wrong before, but let's see if that actually is a little more meaningful than it seems.
Well, and, you know, you just look at it. Boston's at home, but if they win this game, then I tell you what, I can't imagine how much pressure is going to be on Miami going back for game six. And you got to imagine they'd clinch up pretty good, realizing, oh boy, we had this team on the ropes. We've gotten up two in a row. We'd lose this game. And it's game seven, and it's in Boston, and it's winner take all at that point. The pressure continues to mount. It'll be interesting to see how Miami handles that. But Jimmy Butler's just been awesome. I mean, and honestly, what is it about that guy? I mean, we see on the court, but from just an intangible standpoint, what is it that he brings that makes that team so tough?
He's comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. He doesn't have to, you know, make any crazy proclamations, and he just goes out there. And I honestly believe he's maybe the best elite competitor we've got in the league. Like, he just competes, man. And you know, Jake and I have gone off on it before. He's amazing. And I know there's been scuttlebutt, and, you know, he's been hard in the locker room in some spots. But I'm telling you, if you can get a guy to play that hard consistently and try to do all the right things to win, you got to hold on to that guy at all costs. So, you know, I'm not discounting what he's done. I just think there is a pathway forward. 279 games have been played in this very situation where a team in the conference finals, where a team is up 3-1, 279 have been played. And of those 279, 266 times, the team that was up won the series, but 13 times, it didn't have, you know, that team with the one came back and won. So it's been done not once, not twice, but 13 times. And we saw the Celtics in this situation against Philly really kind of answer the bell. So let's see what happens. It'll be fun. I'm glad we still have games, you know, that mean something.
You know what? You got to lay it on the line. If this happens, what do you need me and Hans to do? Your call. You name it. If Boston comes back and wins this series, you make the call on this one.
Well, I have to make you guys do something outlandish, and then I have to do something if they don't?
No. I'm not even going to hold you to it because the odds are highly in our favor on this thing. Just no public nudity. That's all we ask.
Well, let me think about it. Maybe I'll tweet my response. I'm going to make this good.
All right. Okay. Maybe if you work in a little, you know, I tell you what, if Miami holds on and wins the series, maybe you work in a Bryan Adams song for me with the Party Hound sometime.
Oh, dude, we got all sorts of party. We got Bryan Adams all over our register. So that's easy. Consider that one done. Win, lose,
awesome.
Or draw. Hey, and by the way, August 4th and 5th, buddy, at the Velour.
Dude, I can't wait. We will be there. The whole staff will be there. Let's go. Love it.
I just got a commitment for the opening act that night. And put it this way, it's a former All-Pro football player who's going to play the guitar and sing to open the night.
Ooh, look at you go. I like it. At the Velour,
yeah. So
August 4th and 5th.
We're going to have some fun. It's going to be the event of the summer.
Hey, last time we went down there, it was one of the coolest things I've been a part of in a long time. You guys put on a hell of a show. There's no doubt about it. And having the whole staff down there and hanging out and having a good time, that was the high point of the summer. And that was, 2 years ago? So it's time to bring it back. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're coming back. So 4th and 5th of August, tickets will be soon, and the Velour is going to handle all that. And, so stay tuned, and we will rock you.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're LeBron, I don't think anybody really thinks he's going to retire, but I think the guy's tired. I think he's old. I think he's worn out. I think he's probably considering it. I would be shocked if he actually did it. I don't think there's any way, but I think there was probably some truth to what he was saying the other night in terms of, yeah, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to think about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, I mean, I joked about, I do think there's part of it too that he didn't want to talk about the sweep. So, you know, it's a great way to get everybody talking about something else. But man, he was phenomenal in the series. You know, the Lakers were not, but at his age to do what he did, just absolutely awesome. And, you know, Lakers just at the end of the day, their issue was they had really good talent, but just the chemistry and the ability to play together. I think he'll be back. You know, I think he wants to go out a unique way, and I think that'll be playing during the time his kid's playing. You know, I think he would really love to try to be able to do something like that. So we'll see. But legacy's big to him, and family obviously is big to him, and he's been such a huge part of his son's basketball career. But I could kind of see that be the way he goes out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so offseason's nearly here. Draft's upcoming. I don't think the Jazz will be selecting three guys in the first round. I think there'll be some movement of some kind. But there's a lot of, look, Danny's stocked up the war chest. How aggressive do you think this offseason is going to be for the Jazz?
Well, it's, you know, like anything, it's when opportunity arises, you know, you've got to have the intel and then you've got to have the ability to strike. And I think the Jazz have put themselves in as good a position as anybody in the league to do just that. The thing I've really been impressed with is their ability to discern guys that can really play and, you know, that can really help them, the guys they brought in. So full faith, you know, in what they do. If they take three guys, you know, that's probably the best path for that for this year. But you know, the goings on between now and the draft, it'd be so awesome to get a Woj update on all those. Unfortunately, we don't. A lot of that stuff and most of that stuff's kept way under wraps. But one thing's for sure, everybody's looking for opportunity. And if they can find it and they have the ability to strike, which I mentioned the Jazz have in, you know, have so much of that capital, that I think it's just now we just sit back and watch. I think they're really prepared. I think they've done, from, you know, my understanding, an unbelievable job at prepping and bringing guys in and working them out. And there's no doubt in my mind, you know, I don't know who it is, but I know they've got their board and I know they're really keen on certain guys. And now it's where do those guys fall and how can we move around if we want to get those guys.
So let's say you are a you're an NBA GM, you're an NBA owner, NBA president, and you can choose between Nick Nurse, Doc Rivers, Mike Budenholzer, Monty, Williams. Am I missing anybody else that's on the free agent market in terms of coaches? I think those are your big ones. Who's your guy? Who are you going with?
Me personally, I really like Monty Williams' way. And that's not saying anything against all the others, but just like the way that he handles himself. I like the way he manages the game. You know, got unique sets and things like that. But I just like his mannerisms. But you can't go wrong, man. Those guys, that is a great crop. I mean, you're talking about multiple champions, right, in that group. And,
yeah,
you know, and Monty's been really successful. So you really couldn't go wrong. I think it comes down to what your end game is, you know, because all those guys have specialties, I'm sure. And so getting into that and figuring out for us right now, who's the best guy, because, you know, you could basically pick one of those guys out of a line and they do an unbelievable job for you.
Are we being a little too impatient with these coaches? I mean, Nurse has won a title. Budenholzer's won a title. Monty had his team in the NBA Finals in the best four collective years of Phoenix Suns basketball in the last, you know, 25 years. It seems like, and I guess, look, you own the team. You can have an itchy trigger finger if you want, but it seems like those guys didn't deserve what they got.
No, and, you know, it's weird. It seems to me sometimes there's trends and, you know, the trend now is to just whack guys really quick. I've never understood it. You know, I think it is so, what have you done for me lately? And not many relationships that I have in my life or have had that have been transactional have been worth a damn. You know, the great ones are ones where you go through some good stuff and you go through some bad stuff and you figure it out. And you work together to get it in the perfect place. I mean, all those years the Jazz stood by, you know, their coaches and, you know, Jerry Sloan and the legacy, you know, imagine if they got impatient with him because he just couldn't get over the hump. You know, we would have missed out on that awesome, magical year that was against the Bulls, you know, those couple of years. So I'm one that says give guys an opportunity, you know, and what's, you know, look at the course of their career. You know, I think of a guy like Dave Rice who got clipped at Vegas and they've never recovered. Like he was 72 yeah. and 30 something. And it just wasn't quote unquote enough. So at a certain point, I think fans, you know, social media, that stuff just adds up. And then decision makers, you know, they feel just like when somebody complains that Domino's or pizza's cold, you know, got to do something about it.
You probably don't miss being in the landscape of college basketball, and you guys didn't have to deal with what coaches are dealing with now with transfer portal and 1 year. I mean, without 1 year of having to sit out, being immediately eligible with the NIL money that's being thrown out like crazy. I mean, you talk to a lot of these coaches, just how crazy their lives right now.
Totally crazy. You know, totally 100% uncertain from day to day. But, you know, the crazy thing is that can be said for so many things. But college basketball, as it stands right now, I got out in 2019. And, you know, liken it, if I were to say I left, you know, on a trip and came back and visited college basketball in 23, I wouldn't recognize it. It's not even close to the same thing. It is, at the very most, an 8-month commitment, and there seems to be a loophole for everybody and everything. And again, you talk about loyalty and you talk about building the program. It's just hard. It's hard in this day and age yeah. to get other people to buy into that vision. So you do have to figure out how to operate in this one. But yeah, man, it's vastly different. I do not recognize it from where I sit.
I mean, you got a Utah State team that has zero returning scorers. Not one guy on that roster next year scored a point last season for the for Utah State. Everybody has high level turnover every single year, and it's just like I'm a little torn on it because look, I want players to be able to expand their horizons, and if a kid can go out there and make hundreds of thousands of dollars, so be it. Good for him. That's great. He put in the time and deserves it. But you kind of miss, you know, the good old days where guys were, you know, the Jimmer Fredettes, the Sam Merrills, the guys that were there forever that really put a stamp on their legacy at their individual universities. And I just don't know if we'll ever see that again.
It's funny you say that. I think that's really what's missing, too. You flip on the TV and there's just like that feeling's kind of gone. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I think back to my youth. I grew up watching Ainge. You know, I was a season ticket holder at BYU and watched Ainge, you know, during his time there. And I just remember sitting, I remember when Utah State came down and I was so impressed they beat BYU down there, with McMillan. Was it McMillan or McMullen?
Yeah. I think McMillan.
One of the Grant
yeah.
boys.
Yep.
They were, I'm telling you, man, they were so tough. And I was so impressed by them. But, you know, those memories you have. And now it's like, if you don't have a roster, you have no idea who anybody is. And then by the time you figure out, oh, okay, that's who that is, they're in the transfer portal.
Yep. It's a weird world, man, and it's going to take some time to wrap our brain around it for sure. Kind of bums me out. Like, I get it. I love it, but I love it for these kids, but it's a bitter pill to swallow. All right. Hey, appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Thanks for chatting with me. I know we miss our guy, Hans, but thanks for carving out some time.
Yeah, speak for yourself. I mean, I'm sure he's fine. I mean, he's eating something. He's in a beach somewhere.
We don't miss him.
Oh, he's not a graduation. He's graduation.
Yeah, he's got a daughter graduating, so we'll let him off the hook for that one.
All right, well, happy graduation, little Hans girl, and you guys have an awesome day. It was awesome visiting with you, Scotty.
Love it. Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you later. There he is, Tim Lacombe, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at KSLpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.